speaking of important people, he's on his way to Vigo County because they got jobs in Vigo County. He needs to bring some jobs here to the hood. And that is the governor of the great state of Indiana, Governor Mike Pence. Governor, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Amos. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for being such a gracious host to the First Lady yesterday. She was singing your praises when she got home last night, and I really appreciate your kindness to her.
Oh, we had a ball. She's great.
That's what she said, and I, you know, I knew that. You're a great professional, but you know, it really meant a lot. She's working her heart out every day for people of Indiana and out there trying to do the job of the First Lady and encourage the arts and encourage kids and schools. And it was nice of you to give her that opportunity, Amos.
Well, we enjoyed it. Now, Governor, I got to ask you, what is with you and the great governor of Utah? Are you guys not seeing eye to eye? How dare he question what's going to be in our Indiana standards?
You know, I signed legislation about a week ago that made Indiana the first state in the country to take a step back from national education standards known as Common Core. And several months ago, we initiated a process that's involved over 100 school teachers in Indiana. We've got several thousand comments on our draft standards from citizens around the state. We've had people participating in public meetings, and I've just said consistently, look, we're stepping away from Common Core, and we're going to create Indiana standards that are written by Hoosiers, for Hoosiers, and are uncommonly high. Now, there are some states around the country that are talking about just rebranding Common Core or changing the name, but anyone with even a passing knowledge of the comprehensive and transparent public process that we're going through would know that Hoosiers should be very proud and take every opportunity to be engaged in the fact that we're the first state in the country that's really going back to the principle that education is a state and local function. We're working through writing standards that I know are going to serve our kids and our families for generations.
Governor, one of my concerns that I have, once this process is done and Indiana signs off both the Education Roundtable, which I sit on, both the State Board of Education, right, and I'm sure the legislature is going to, and you're going to keep an eye on this, what do we do to bring Hoosiers back together, particularly so that parents and grandparents and teachers and school administrators and students really know and understand what's in these standards? I think right now, only the folks that are really into it, those who are activists on both sides of the political aisle and philosophy, have argued about this. But I think the average Hoosier, they don't have a clue what's in these standards.
Well, I think it's, you know, I think the important work, and you know, thanks for mentioning the fact that you're a member of the Education Roundtable here in Indiana, and a distinguished member. You know, when this drafting process is completed, which again has been comprehensive and transparent and public, it goes before later this month now. It will go before the Education Roundtable for discussion and debate, consideration. Then it ultimately goes to the State Board of Education. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm very confident that we're going to have standards that are going to be clear, that are going to be uncommonly high, and that teachers and parents are going to be able to look and to see that that drawing on some of the best minds around the country, and drawing on the best minds in classrooms around Indiana, we've created a set of standards that can really help guide student achievement. And as you say, though, making sure the public understands those, part of that's going on now with the very public process of rewriting our academic standards, but obviously the work will go on after the standards are adopted.
Do we need to also not rush in to a test that counts for our students? I'm just nervous as to what happened in Kentucky. I'm scared to death of what happened when they tried to institute this in New York, and virtually every kid in New York State failed, which to me is a failure of the system, not a failure of kids. Should we kind of take it just a little bit slow, implementing these, particularly so that when students finally take a test, they're used to this new system?
Well, I think the goal is that that we're able to complete our work here really before the end of this academic school year, so that teachers are going to be able to get their arms around the new standards, conform textbooks and curriculum to those objectives, write their lesson plans, and be ready to go in the fall. And the other piece of this with regard to testing is we want these standards to make sure that our young people are college ready and career ready. And you know, I really am very confident that what you're going to see, what the Education Roundtable is going to be presented two or three weeks down the road here, and what the State Board of Education ultimately completes are going to be standards that'll be timely, that'll be important, and ultimately it's going to be very clear that Indiana drew on the best and the brightest of our own, the best resources we have available, and created standards that are going to serve our kids in the long term.
We're talking with Governor Mike Pence. When, Governor, you've signed the pre-K initiative, when will we see an announcement of the five counties that will be the test for this?
Well, first, let me just express my appreciation, as I did when we signed the state's very first public funding for pre-K education for disadvantaged kids in our state's history into law last week. This was truly a bipartisan accomplishment. I know that, you know, you and I, we come from different political perspectives and different philosophical perspectives, but I think we both share an appreciation for men and women in public life who look for authentic common ground. And this was as you could tell from the signing ceremony last week, Amos, we had the Democrat leadership of the House and Senate present. We had the Speaker of the House present and Republican leadership of the House and Senate. This was truly a bipartisan effort that put kids first, and now is going to give us the resources, both public and private, to launch this pilot program in five counties. And I'm truly grateful to everyone that was involved in the legislature and around the state, and you included, who lend your voice to this effort. Now, how quick we're going to do it is I'm going to tell you every bit as quickly as possible. We've got our team at Family and Social Services as well as our education team that's working already this week in terms of identifying additional resources and laying out a process where we can identify those counties that are going to be best suited and who have the greatest need for this kind of a program. And we hope to have some announcements here really before we get too far into the spring. I don't know if we can stand this program up in all five counties by the fall, but we're going to roll our sleeves up and do everything we can to get these resources to these needful children and families as quickly as possible.
On unemployment, it looks like the data is going up and down. We still remain under 7% unemployment statewide, and it seems like we keep adding the number of people who say that they're looking for work, but they're the ones looking for work but don't have a job. So the number of unemployment shot up for February in a lot of counties across the state and statewide. You're on your way to Terre Haute, bringing jobs out to Vigo County to convenience store place?
Well, yeah, it's leave it to you to preempt the announcement here, but probably won't spoil the news in Terre Haute, but we'll be announcing a company's plan to open a distribution center and create 185 new jobs by 2019. Mm. Last week we were up in Lafayette and announced the world's largest jet engine manufacturer, GE Aviation, was going to create an assembly plant there, its first final assembly plant in the United States that'll start with 200 good-paying jobs, and I'm believing in my heart that it's gonna grow from there in the years ahead. Look, we've got a lot of good news happening in Indiana. Last year, federal government sources tell us that we saw about 50,000 net new jobs created in the state of Indiana. Unemployment was 8.6% when I first visited your studio in my early months as governor. It's 6.1% in Indiana today. But look, I want to be the first to say, we still got a long way to go. We've still got around 200,000 Hoosiers that are unemployed, struggling in this economy. And I just want everyone within the sound of my voice to know that we're just going to continue to roll our sleeves up and relentlessly pursue the kind of investment and the kind of education innovation that's going to support job creation until we really can say with great confidence that we've got this economy really rolling in Indiana. But it's going in the right direction. I'm encouraged by it. But we've still got a long way to go.
So now, health care reform, the cutoff, quote unquote, was last night. It looks like the administration got to their 7 million. So does that mean, if the administration is in a good mood, does that mean now that maybe the Secretary of HHS and your administration, we can have a deal and we can have the peace of Indianapolis and figure out how to expand health care coverage in this state?
Well, let me say, as you know, when I was in Washington a month or so back, I sat down with the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Secretary Sebelius. So we had an extensive discussion about expanding health care coverage through the Healthy Indiana Plan in the state of Indiana. And it was a very respectful meeting. I thought it was a productive meeting. And I'm grateful that the administration at that meeting and in the days since has continued to express an openness to allowing the state of Indiana to use those Medicaid dollars in a way that would be consistent with the very popular Healthy Indiana Plan. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet. We're still in those negotiations. We anticipate making some submission to the federal government in the next month or so. I want people to know that I'm absolutely sincere in my efforts to work in good faith with the administration. But I want to do this the Indiana way. Mm-hmm. We've developed the most innovative, really, it's called consumer-driven healthcare program for public economies in the country. I got about 95% of our state employees that have what are known as health savings accounts. We've got 40,000 Hoosiers that have health savings accounts through the Healthy Indiana Plan. These accounts and this structure encourages people to make better choices for their own health care, to pursue wellness, regular checkups, to pursue primary care and not emergency room care. Just it's the kind of approach to health care that I'm convinced will result in better health for people, and also it's in the long-term interests of our economy to get the healthier people are, the less health care costs that we have in this country. And I think that's where Indiana has a chance to really lead the way, we're working very energetically to see if we can come to some agreement with the administration, and we'll probably have a better idea about that in about a month or so, Anthony.
Now, you know, you've been around presidents. Presidents don't do anything by accident. And I asked your lovely wife yesterday about the fact that at the White House dinner for the governors, the president seated you at table 12, which I found out is a good number. Because you were sitting right next to First Lady Michelle Obama. Was that a signal? Was President Obama sending a sign or something?
Well, you'd have to ask him the next time he's on the show. I've had the privilege to know and work with several presidents. I pray for our president and his family. It was an honor for us to be there, and I will say, while the president and I have differences on policies and some philosophy of government, I consider him an honorable man, and frankly, the time that we had with the First Lady was very enjoyable. She's a gracious hostess, and I was honored to represent Indiana at that dinner for the National Governors Association at the White House.
See, maybe the fact that you were sitting next to First Lady Michelle Obama, that's why Politico started throwing your name out there for 2016. If you hadn't been sitting there, they wouldn't have done that.
I'll leave you to that speculation as to why that happens. But yeah, I'm always flattered and frankly humbled whenever we're mentioned for the highest office in the land, but I can tell you, for all the things that we've already talked about on the program today, I think it's such a promising time in the life of the state of Indiana that I'm spending all of my time thinking about the future of the state, and we'll let my future take care of itself.
But how? But seriously, on a political tip, how important is it for your party to come up with a potential nominees that can be like a Mike Pence, only in the sense, not as the individual, but as somebody that can have strong conservative beliefs, but be willing to talk to people of all stripes?
Well, number one, thank you for that generous characterization. You know, I like to say, you know, I'm a conservative. I'm not in a bad mood about it. I really do respect people who know their own minds, and I respect everyone's convictions, so whether I agree with them or not. I would just say to you that I think at every level, both political parties in our country would do well if we saw more leadership that began with that premise, that you can disagree without being disagreeable. It's like I keep going back to that pre-K bill, but I actually got emotional at that signing ceremony last week, Amos.
Mm.
Surrounded by all those little ones, representing some of the more vulnerable families in this community, and I thought of what we were able to do by coming together. And it was a very humbling thing for me. And you know, there's a lot of progress we can make if we don't care who gets the credit. There's a lot of progress that we can make in this state and in this country if we will look for. I don't mean compromising your principles. I mean genuine common ground and find a way that you can make common cause and move the state forward.
He's on his way to Terre Haute, bringing some jobs over there. We need to get you down into Martindale, Brightwood, into Meadows, and Unwa, bring some jobs down there.
Yeah, count on it. We're running a four corners offense in the state of Indiana, and I met yesterday afternoon with one of the leading employers in the Indianapolis area, talking about their future, and just rest assured that this is a real promising time. The people of Indiana, and I think the reforms that we recently enacted, making Indiana more attractive for investment that will create jobs, I think what we're doing to make career and vocational education a priority in every high school, opening the doors to quality pre-K for disadvantaged kids in our state, these are all coming together to create a real season of opportunity for Hoosiers, and I want your listeners to know that I'm grateful to serve, but I'm working our heart out every day to see Indiana realize our full potential in this time of promise.
Governor Mike Pence, as always, thanks very much for being with us. Stay safe out there on the highway. And I know the driver is doing 65.
Let me check. He's within the line. Absolutely.
Now I'm going to hear it from the state police. Oh, my goodness, the guy on the radio is really putting pressure on me now. Governor, thanks very, very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.